This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My co-host Anthony Brooks is off this week. We're going to start today with what's become a familiar dance on Beacon Hill. The governor proposes one big-thinking transportation reform plan, legislative leaders propose another, and taxpayers are left wondering how much they'll have to pay and just what they'll get for it. Well, in today's spin around the dance floor, House and Senate leaders announced their $500 million transportation financing plan, a much smaller proposal than Governor Patrick's sweeping $1.9 billion vision released several weeks ago. Here's Speaker DeLeo, Robert DeLeo, at the State House earlier today.
This joint plan attempts to balance the sacrifices we all have to make and ties transportation-related revenue to transportation needs. It addresses the most pressing problems by providing adequate funding well into the future without asking our residents and businesses to bear too much of the burden.
WBR reporter Fred Bever is at the State House and joins us now. Fred, tell us a little bit more about this new legislative plan and how exactly does it differ from the governor's plan?
Well, the first thing to note is that the governor's $1.9 billion increase in state spending that he proposed earlier this year, as you mentioned, about a billion of that was for transportation, $900 million of that for education, expanded education spending. The House and Senate leaders today looked only at transportation and appear to be leaving the governor's expansion of education spending off the table entirely. It doesn't look like they're going to address it. Instead, they are focusing on transportation. They're coming in at $500 million, about half of what the governor proposed. They do that by raising the gas tax 3 cents and indexing it to inflation by 2015, raising a dollar on the pack of cigarette tax, and adding new sales taxes to some computer software services, changing some business taxes as well to net that $500 million figure.
Interesting. Now, the gas tax is always a very hot-button issue, and this is the first time that I can recall that there's been a serious proposal to peg it to inflation. So did you get a sense that was something that House and Senate leaders were really willing to throw their weight behind when push comes to shove?
I think they may be. I think they were kind of surprised at how much support they found amongst their rank and file for a modest increase in the gas tax. Remember, the gas tax now in Massachusetts is a little over 20 cents, so 3 cents is not a huge bite or addition to that. And because of the hunger for added transportation spending, if not amongst the leaders at the level that the governor has proposed, I think that they're fairly confident that they can get that support from the floors.
And Fred, as you mentioned, looks like legislative leaders are proposing a plan that's half as much funding for transportation as Governor Patrick would want. Do they think that that's enough in terms of what Massachusetts needs? And what's the reaction been from other people that you spoke to today?
The House leaders proposed this as a measured plan that in some ways hurries up the governor's plan to, for instance, shore up the finances of MDOT and of the MBTA. Right now there's a practice of using capital bonding funds to help pay for salaries and operating expenses at the MBTA. That would end under this plan within 3 years. They say that would free up capital money sooner than the governor was proposing for expanded capital spending. The transportation advocacy community is not happy, at least at first blush. However, there are elements of the package that parts of that constituency will like. For instance, the leaders propose to finance up front the funds they give to the regional transit authorities. Right now, they've been getting their money after the fact, so they have to float debt in order to keep their operations going. That practice would end at least for the next year, and even pay them back for some of the debt expenses they've had. So it's going to be slow. I spoke with Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone earlier, just before, when he heard this half-billion-dollar figure. He was like, oh, no, that's just not enough. After he sat and listened to the House leaders, he said, well, I still think it's not enough, but I kind of get what they're trying to do. So it will be interesting to see how much support versus screaming happens over this.
Fred Bever is WBUR's State House reporter. Fred, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, joining me now to discuss this a little further are two people who are longtime watchers and have a lot of experience with transportation in Massachusetts. First, Charles Chapillo. He's a senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute for Public Policy Research, also a former policy advisor in Governor Mitt Romney's administration. Charles, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Richard Dimino, president and CEO of A Better City. It's a business and transportation advocacy group in Massachusetts based in Boston. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Charles, let me start with you briefly. I presume that you're a bigger fan of the House and Senate plans than Governor Patrick's, and if so, briefly, why?
Well, two things. I mean, the House and Senate plan at least sort of bring us back to some kind of objective reality. My problem with the governor's plan is that it is if it were a recipe to get us back exactly where we are today in 10 years. It follows exactly the plan that we've gone on in the last 20 years, which is essentially lowballing the cost of building all these new projects, and then not including any funding for either operating or maintaining them, which of course is the recipe to get us, you know, $20 billion in the hole like we are now.
So, Rich Dimino, your response to that?
I have to. Charlie and I have always had some differences of opinion on these matters, so we'll continue to have some differences of opinion. So, first of all, the House and Senate plan is a very important step forward. I don't want to undermine that in any way. Transportation financing in the state has reached crisis levels. We have a serious state of good repair problem in the transit system, where estimates are as high as $4 billion in terms of keeping the system reliable and operating safely. A Transportation Finance Commission report, then reinforced by recent numbers by other experts, suggests that the gap overall for transportation over the next 20 years is $20 billion in terms of keeping our highways and bridges safe and reliable. Those are big numbers. Those are real numbers. They get reconfirmed every year by some group of experts that are suggesting that our transportation system is woefully underfunded in terms of keeping it just going. Never mind dealing with the fact that the state is growing in terms of population and job growth, actually good trends compared to other states in the union. And frankly, we're not doing anything to accommodate future transportation demand on our system, which also means that you have to spend some money.
Well, let me just jump here and turn one of your points back to Charles Chipio. Charles, I'm curious about this because it was, 2007, if I recall correctly, that one of the big Blue Ribbon Commission reports came out with the screaming headline, transportation in Massachusetts, an unsustainable system. And then back then they identified that just to maintain what we have now, we would need $1 billion a year. And this current plan from Robert DeLeo and Therese Murray only gives us half that. So, I mean, forget, it sounds like they're taking off the table the development of anything new and aren't even coming up with the revenues needed to maintain what we have now.
Well, a couple things on that. First of all, you know, let's face it, you know, every year, like, for example, right, just in the last couple of weeks, we just got the report that we get every few years from the civil engineers about how much we have to invest in our infrastructure. And you know what? We need to invest more in our infrastructure. And in Massachusetts, we need to invest more in transportation. But, you know, the fact that these estimates are a little bit inflated, I don't think is particularly news to anybody. Secondly, I think that there is part of things change over time, and some of that need we can take care of through technology less expensively than by simply, you know, building more things and doing it the way we've always done it. So, you know, there's a couple different
ways. How does that work with infrastructure?
Well, because, for example, the perfect example in infrastructure is that through electronic tolling and congestion pricing, you can manage demand such that you use more, that roads, for example, get used more during off-peak times than they do during rush hour, and that limits the need to build more roads. I mean, that's sort of the classic example, of how that works.
Richard Dimino, on the flip side, though, you also recall that it was several years ago where Therese Murray especially led the charge in terms of reform before revenue in really shoring up Massachusetts' transportation system, because she got the sense from taxpayers out there that the system itself and the bureaucrats administering it needed to change before any additional money was to come forth. That's how we got the new Department of Transportation. Now, do you think that this is sort of the next step in that line. And basically what the legislature is saying is, hey, maybe we can start collecting more revenue. And this is a more realistic and politically feasible way to do it rather than like shooting for the stars or aiming for the moon, as the governor might like.
Well, first of all, the numbers that we've been talking about, even if there's a little bit inflation in them, as Shelley suggests, you still are talking about big numbers. You know, again, as you said, there's a $20 billion number that was put on the table by a very well-renowned expert group that said it's $20 billion. It's $1 billion a year. So, you know, a little bit of inflation isn't going to make, like, wish that away. We have to really be honest about these numbers with the public. We have issues that are significant relative to the ability to keep, you know, the trains running and also to keep our bridges safe. That's not going to be wished away on reform or trying to come up with magic ways for us to save money. We have to come up in many states. Over 10 states in this country have already grappled with the gas tax increase because they had to, because their funding problems are similar, if not worse, than ours. So I guess my point is that there has been reform. I think that's good. In fact, ABC, together with Mass Taxpayers and others, were pushing for that type of reform. We saw changes in pension. We saw changes in health care and transportation. We saw the governor push for seeing people put flaggers out on the streets. There's a lot of good things. There's an estimate in operations alone where the DOT looks like they're going to be saving at least $2 billion over the next 20 years.
But these things in total don't necessarily get us to what you were talking about earlier, the desire to really have a 21st century transportation system.
A 21st century transportation system. If you look at the transit system in 1967 and you look at it in now, the spider map of the MBTA has tremendously grown over that time period, and over that time period, there was forward funding, which will put the MBTA on a sales tax plan in terms of being able to keep it within its own budget. Sales tax revenues never equaled the amounts that were forecasted way back when by legislators, but we grew the system. Now, the system grew, and the system is connected to now 70% of the Massachusetts population who are getting into work every day in the urban core in Boston and other places throughout the state where there's jobs. Jobs and people connecting to those jobs is critically important, and the transit system in this state, including RTAs, is the backbone of making that happen.
Well,
Rick's argument comes up short, that basically, you know, this is all about jobs. First of all, the way to get jobs and the way to get people to jobs is to actually make the system work, which means to stop all of these expansion programs that we can't afford. And the second thing is he makes that link between transportation and jobs. The fact is that Massachusetts, almost unlike any other state in the union, has the same amount of jobs that it did in 1990. Nationally, the number of jobs has increased more than 25% over that time. In that period, we have had the fastest growing transit system in the country. It's not that transit and transportation isn't important. We need new money in the system. The new money needs to be invested wisely. It needs to be invested in getting rid of our backlogs. It needs to be invested in making the system work, and it needs to be invested slowly over time so that it can be invested efficiently based on the MassDOT's performance.
Well, on that note, this debate is going to go on, certainly in Massachusetts, and I'm afraid we're going to have to stop it there. Charles Chipio, Senior Fellow at the Pioneer Institute for Public Policy Research, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Richard Domino, President and CEO of A Better City, thanks so much for your time as well, Mr. Domino.
Thank you.
And listeners, you're definitely an important part of this debate because it's money that's going to come out of your pockets to fund Massachusetts' transportation system. So let us know what you think at radioboston.org. And stick with us because up next, we'll talk about what happens when religion, sex, and campus life meet on a Catholic university. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.